Welcome back to The Unpolished with your hosts, Angela and Kendall. Let's get into it, shall we?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. We are back.
We're back.
Oh, I'm so excited to be on mic. I truly texted Angela. This is Kendall, by the way. Hi. I texted Angela today and I was like, I'm so excited for us to get on mic because I just genuinely miss you. Like, yeah. I was so excited to just talk and catch up.
Samesies. We have had just like a whirlwind of a couple weeks. We had a guest on, have had like quite a few guest episodes, which has been so fun. But just Ken and I in the saddle, it's been a little bit. I've been sharing with her my new acronym that I don't know why this like kind of started, but if you grew up a 90s kid or in Texas, you probably have known that song by Gretchen Wilson, Redneck Woman. I mean, I wouldn't call her a one-hit wonder because I'm sure she has more, but that is definitely,
I don't know any.
Yeah, it's definitely her shining star, right? And so the other day I was running around town. I'm not going to get into all of this, but TLDR, my husband and I are doing commercial bids for, we own a fence company and we're doing commercial bids for pickleball courts and baseball fields. We're kind of expanding. And so we've been going outside of the Metroplex, outside of the state, whatever. And so I've been doing some long drives to like start initiating some projects. Anyways, on one, I was like, you know what? I'm going and getting a permit. And I was thinking about that song. And I was like, with a baby on my hip, cause I'm married. So now anytime I do anything, you guys, like I'm making dinner, I'm like, with a baby on my hip. And it's really catchy because now Kendall is a part of my squad of saying
no, that. Like truly, I'll be like, anyway, I just got my candle orders off. And she's like, with a baby on my hip. I'm like, yes. I sent her a selfie this morning of me like, I'm about to go to work and I got dressed with a baby on my hip, literally. Because literally. Like, it's so perfect because we're actually doing all of this with a baby on our hip.
Yeah, no, I say it literally, like Shep is on the hip, June is on the hip, and we're running around town, keeping it moving. And sometimes it's our big one on our hip. Let's be real. Sometimes yeah. The big one needs to be on. And sometimes it's both of them.
This episode, just to buckle in or buckle out, is we're just catching up. We're just going over what's been going on, things we've been watching, things we've been thinking about, different things going on in our lives. Like we're just catching up. And so if this is your flavor, this is your speed, you just want to be in the sauce, tune in. Or if you want to wait until next week, you can do that too. But we're just going to catch up and talk about all the things going on in our lives. So,
well,
all right. So you go first.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get into the work stuff because it's like work is work, but I will say my 75 hard style challenge has been fun. We're still sending daily selfies in the group chat with women that I am getting dressed with every day. So I have really been trying to make it a point to get dressed, which I've talked about on other episodes. So that has been really pivotal.
I feel like I'm living by proxy because
I've noticed
I am not in the group. I'm actually like just riding the wave of y'all while not being in the group. I'm like, I'm getting dressed every day. Like I'm doing the thing, but I think about you guys. I'm like, I'm doing my own style 75 hard, even though I'm not in the group chat.
Yeah. Party of one, but hey, whatever works, because it really has been transformative in the rest of my, I'm not going to go on and on because I keep talking about this, but this is really on my mind, team. Like I was not expecting it to ripple into other parts of my life. Like my connection to my friends and to my husband and to working out and to my body and to my health, like it all stemmed from getting dressed every day. So that's really catapulted a lot into the air. I haven't told you this. I've booked my first pop-up for my clothing stuff. I resell.
Oh my gosh, you haven't told me this yet.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. I actually was inspired. We're just passing the baton of inspiration because I was inspired by your candle pop-up, which I want you to talk about in a minute. But when you did that, I was like, you know what? I think an in-person experience. I've had a virtual clothing business for 4 years now, and I've sort of felt lost in the sauce. I felt a little aimless. I'm like, what's next? Kendall had such great success and fun doing a pop-up in person. And I was like, you know what? I need to start getting into that. So it was actually kind of magical how it happened. I was thinking about doing that after yours in the DFW and was like, okay, let me just keep my eyes peeled. I'm not going to go hard, like Googling and calling people. I'm just putting it as information and putting out into the universe that I want to do this, right?
Yeah.
Well, there is a boutique that has several different booths of clothing of you know, resellers or people that own little smaller boutiques, whatever. It's a collection of booths, but they have brick and mortar stores, and it's new to the area, and it's called Indie Clover. And I had it on my list. Oh, that's a cute
name too.
So cute, right? I had it on my list because it's like so vibey. Like the experience seems really vibey. So I've seen people do reels of like shopping inside of there or whatever. And so I've marked it as information to be like, oh, I need to like look into that. Well, then a couple years ago, I met this girl I got invited to a Poshmark event, and it was like the top sellers of Dallas or whatever. And so I was there with other Dallas people. And it was the first time I was meeting other people that did what I did in the area, which was like so illuminating, so fun. And I connected with one girl. Her name is Recloth Collection. And so I had thought about that. And then she posted that she's like been doing that, and she walked through the entire process. And I was like, oh my gosh, Indie Clover, here it is again. So she's like, here's how you book a booth. This is how much money I made the first week, the second week, the third week. This is how the process goes. So I went, and there was like one opening left. And so it was.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's $30.
Cinderella with her shoe.
Yeah. So it's like a booth rental situation. So I paid $30 for my spot on a Saturday morning, May 11th. So if you're in the area and you're hearing this, just come check it out.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm
yes.
excited. Yeah.
I'm so excited for you. That is so fun. And I love that I'm like live hearing it with the audience.
I know. I haven't told anyone yet about that. So I'm excited about it. See you. Talk about your candle situation. Cause that
yes.
never talked about that on here.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. Talk about whirlwind. Here's what I will say. I'm just now like in a, okay, all my big project stuff is now like the last push is kind of done. So I'm hoping, I mean, there's never going to be like, it's not crazy, but I feel like we're going towards like, okay, this is a bit more manageable crazy, not what the last couple of weeks have been. Like, I honestly feel bad of just how unavailable I've been for just working. Like right for the last couple of weeks, it's truly been waking up at, you know, 6:30 a.m. and going until almost midnight. Just working or being with the kids. And yeah, so it's just been kind of crazy, except for the rookie night. We both love Rookie, the sleep. It's like a magnesium blend. It is,
I'm
like
telling you,
it is, I almost said something sacrilegious, but,
no, it is. But it's the bomb.
It is the best. Anyway, and I went to bed at like 8:30 the other night because I was just like, I have to exit myself out of this day. But yeah, so, but it's all been fun stuff. It's not, you know, this isn't a complaint. This is like, I feel really blessed by how everything is going. And it kind of kicked off with one of my friends has her sister lives on site of an artist studio and like artist collective, and they do seasonal pop-ups of bringing different artists. So people who sell vintage or art, or, you know, you just anything kind of in that like makers or collectors sphere. But it's really cute and vibey. It's just like, it's so fun. Anyway, so she had reached out to me and said, are you interested in doing this pop-up? And I was like, oh, it was very short notice. And so I was like, you know what, let's go. And I went in very much like, this was my first in-person experience with the candles, and it went better than I could have ever imagined. I did go in nervous because I was like, I don't know how this is going to be. I mean, how embarrassing if you like put your dick out like that and it's just like, oh, no, thank you. You know, I think it's just really vulnerable when you believe in something and you put yourself out there like that. And I know on social media, it just looks like, and then here I am. But there was a lot of emotion around it of preparing everything and then getting there and being like, did I over-prepare? Did I under-prepare? Are people going to like this? Whatever. And it went better than I could have ever imagined. It lit me up seeing people and them experiencing what I made. I mean, this is like my heart and soul. Like I really pour myself into this project. And so there's just like something so personal about truly making something with your hands and then someone taking it into their home. It's just like, oh, it just lights me up. After the pop-up, that was just so fun. After that, it was kind of like, okay, it's kind of now or never to put the candles online. I'd been selling privately. And this was kind of like, all right, there's a lot of people that I know that have now purchased these candles, but a lot of people that I don't know. And so they were starting to suggest candles to friends and, you know, coworkers and things like that. And I was like, I need to have this online so people can order. So then that was kind of a manic push of like, okay, I've got to like literally set this all up and be ready for production. And so, yeah, so I put it out online. That went better than I could have ever expected. But it's just so fun.
No, I've been so proud of you, Kendall. You're such a tactical, like somebody that loves the way something touches and feels and presents in person. And so to have people see something, because it's been interesting as you've been a graphic designer and a lot of your talents creatively are shared virtually. So It was so fun for me to see you because your virtual talents know no bounds. Like you're so, so good at anything that you touch. I knew this would be a smash. But it is a new medium for you, right? Like in person is a full new vibe. And I know that feeling of like, you're standing in front of your booth and you're like, what if everyone's just like passing me by? Like,
yeah, I know.
So vulnerable. Cause at least online, if you flop, you could just like literally go and hide. But when you're physically standing there, and Kendall and I have had flops. Trust.
Oh, we've had flops more. I mean, we just, you know, we've had flops. Water off the back. I mean, and we've mentally spiraled when we've had flops online, but at least no one knows.
Of course.
I don't want to. So then putting yourself out there in person.
No, it's
is truly just like there is nowhere to hide. Like
there's nowhere to hide. There was Theo Von. I was watching. I'm a huge Theo Von fan, huge Brittany Broski fan, and they were on each other's podcast. So I was like, lit up, tuned in, sat down for 2.5 hours because I'm like two of my favorites collabing. Yes. And they're both comedians. And I was talking about how, or Theo was talking about how he has bombed before and he still had 20 minutes. So he's on stage.
Oh,
and it happens, I'm sure, to so many comedians, right? I mean, it's a rite of passage, right? But he was like saying in his younger days, like he was standing there just like not killing it and like looked at the clock, like in the venue, and he had 20 more minutes to go. Can you imagine after you stand there and continue to tell jokes?
That was my worst fear. This pop-up thing was like, it's giving like 5 hours. It was 5 hours. So I was like, bro, what if like I'm 1 hour in and I'm just like, no one wants this. This is like dead.
You start like packing up your food. Like, it's like, it's so painful.
And I also put so much intention into it that I'm like, this is going to be extra embarrassing if it flops. Like I got like, you know, like a big umbrella and like a little cafe table and like linens and like made so many candles. And like, I put so much intention into it that I was like, this is going to be extra embarrassing if it flops, because it's just like, oh, she really tried. Like I should have made more.
Yes. That is best case scenario when it's like, you literally sold out. So that, I mean, I'm so proud of you. And I'm so excited for how people are now at the place where they're reordering, because that's when you really know that's like,
yes,
such a freaking good product that people are coming back.
Yeah. So for people who are local, I do drive drop-offs. And so it's just been so fun because I've all week been like dropping off candles for people who have already reordered. I just have like so much intention on the customer service end of this. Like I really want anyone who buys my candles or like a product from me to be like, she cared from start to finish. And so to me, I'm just like, okay, if I can make your life easier, like I'm going to do this. Like I'm going to go, it's going to be on your front porch. Like one of the girls was like, oh, like I don't have a wick cutter, like set it as an off, you know, whatever. And it's like, I ordered her a wick cutter and like put it in her bag and put it on her front door. Like, I just, you know, for every single person who has ordered online, it's like, I'm writing them letters and like looking into their social media and figuring out like things that they care about and, you know, like maybe throwing in like a sample candle based on somewhere they've been recently or, you know, think like, so I just, to me, it's so important for every single person to open up their package and feel like it's something really special that you can't get anymore. Like there's no, to me, there's no real brand you can just order from and you're like, oh, someone's going to really care about the person who's ordering. They may be excited for the person who's ordering, but to like really put intention in to, you're a human, I'm a human, I'm making this in my studio. This is going to your house. What does your life look like? Like, how can I cater to that? You know? And now as it scales, like who knows what I'll be able to do. But right now there really is this special thing where I can pay attention to every single little detail and really do that for people. And it genuinely brings me so much joy. Like I feel like I'm sending out birthday presents every day.
So beautiful. It's, I mean, I really am so excited for you. And also on the side of besides how thoughtful and intentional you are for each person and how like beautiful that is and rare, I've never seen a candle company custom the scent and the component. That is like very interesting to me. So you have a ton of different SKUs and different like ways, different visual design elements, whether somebody wants marble or stone or amber, like on the outside, and then what the scent is on the inside. It's just really a unique.
It's completely custom. So yeah. So when someone, you know, comes to me and it's like, oh, I'm interested in a candle. I like walk through, even with the scents, I'll be like, what do you naturally burn in your house right now? Like, let me get a sense of what your kind of like nose profile is. Yeah. And so then I'll help them like pick their scent and then be like, okay, where are you going to put this? What colors would be best for this area? Or do you want something you can refill? And then if someone gets marble, since it's real marble, every single vessel is different than the next. They're all unique, depending on where it was cut. And so I will send each person a video of like, here are all of the options within this color, like which is your favorite? Do you want a white label? Do you want a black label? Do you want a colored label? You know, like, so every single thing is completely custom. So every single order that goes out is completely unique from the next. Like there's no duplicates.
Interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's yeah. Cause you know, then we got like the merch. So it's like these physical goods. It's just so fun because I think that it's such an easy buy. Like for me personally, on the buyer side of things, I really enjoy getting a physical product from something that I believe in. It makes me feel like part of, yes, right. Like it makes me feel like a part of what I believe in. That is like now its energy is with me physically. Yeah. And so I really personally enjoy when I'm surrounded by things where it's like, oh, I like the person who made this, or I like the person who designed this or whatever. It's just almost like a collection of things that you love. And I feel like that's the biggest representation of who you are, is like what you connect with and creates that individuality. And so I, from a buyer's end, I value the things the most that I have that came from a source that I connect with on a emotional level. And so it's fun to put stuff out in the world where it's like, okay, whether it's like the unpolished merch or whatever, like all of these people who are in our crew, it's just fun to be able to provide that for the people who are like, oh yeah, I do want something in my house that represents the energy of something that makes me feel good. You know,
you got me into buying merch actually, like from other people.
Like I'm a merch girly. Like I'm not just putting merch out. Like no, I really, one thing about Kendall, I buy merch.
One thing about Kendall, she's going to buy merch. And back in the days of like, different when blogs were a little bit more like mainstream than they are now. I guess they still are. Depends on what you're looking for. But like when you were,
it's
really
not as mainstream,
reading,
but man, RIP. I loved the blog era.
I know you loved the blog era. And I remember I might cut this, I don't know. I remember with the Lonely Ghost of it all, like the first time I saw you in the hoodie of like, I love you, say it back. I saw you wear that all the time. And I just thought it was like something from like a store, like a retailer.
No. And then you're like, where is this from? And I like go on this deep dive of,
and you're like, well, indie so blue. It is indie blue.
Yeah. No, thousand. I'm like, anyway, so this was the exact time that she had her baby. And this is, no, I'm telling you, like when I connect like with something, someone like whatever, I just really connected to Indie Blues. Like, and I know she's controversial for some people, whatever, you know. Okay.
But also it's like, but you're not the only one. She has like hundreds and thousands.
No, like, totally. You know, and I'm not like saying me and Indy are besties. I'm just like the energy of what she's putting out of this, like unabashed. I'm being creative. I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve. I am putting my creative stuff out no matter what, like people saying whatever, just the energy of that. And I honestly, this is just my personal take on Indy Blue. If you don't know who Indy Blue is, like you can look her up, but like she has such a soft heart, and everything that she's written and done or whatever is just, to me, like a woman who is committed to like keeping the childlike creativity alive. And I really connect to that, and I really like that. And so, yeah, I'm like, sure, I'll buy a sweatshirt. Easy as that. Like, and it's cute. Honestly, and I love it. I still wear it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see. I'm on her website now because we're talking about it. This text me when you get home. A ton of people wear that one too.
I have that one. Yeah, it's fine. I literally wore it yesterday in yellow.
I love it though. God, her website is so cool. She's so cool.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, she's never going to know my name. It's not like, oh, me and Indy Blue go way back, even though I feel like we do.
I'm screenshotting this to you because I want to use this lime green in something, in like a visual soon.
Yeah. Okay. I know. Angela's like just casually like sending
color
me
combos.
Color combos. And like, so this would be nice. I'm like, hold on. We literally just designed 5 t-shirts.
No, like, and it doesn't.
But also I'm saving them. I'm like, okay. So we'll do this for this one.
Yeah. I don't mean even for merch, but I just mean like for something visual, like how neon green that is. I'm like, I want to use that font.
Okay. My phone's on airplane mode. I will look. So yeah. Anyway. So yeah, the soft drop, we have merch and we truly just are making.
We have merch, team.
We have merch.
We said that in the reel. Yeah.
We have merch.
Speaking of, that was actually a great transition. I'm going to clean it up in post, but we have merch and it's living and breathing and forever changing. We are adding more SKUs as we roll along. We're taking requests if you want, possibly. Check it out. It's going to be in the show notes.
It's just chill. Like, you can buy, you cannot buy. It's really, truly, we are making t-shirts that we want to wear. And so it's like, if you vibe, come match us. Like, we've now, between Angela and I, truly purchased every single thing in the lineup. Not both of us, every single thing, but like collectively we've purchased everything in the lineup because we love it so much and are wearing it and stuff's coming in. And anyway, so like we even have stuff that we're putting our husbands in. Like Nick and Clint will match in the angel investor and unpaid labor for my wife's side hustles.
Can't wait to get their pictures of
Nick. And they're both like, I got the olive for him too. So they will literally be in the same color. And like, it's gonna be everything. So we're just having a great time. Like, it's been really fun just following our flow. And I feel like we both, Angela and I, are truly so tired and so in flow at the same time. It's the wildest combination where we are cranking out. And here's what I know about creativity and just whatever, inspiration. Is it is a faucet that turns on and off without warning. And so for people who are like, you know, I'm not even saying traditionally creative, like just having creative thought in your day, like everyone's creative, right? But you can't always pick when you feel creative or inspired and when you don't. And I wish you could, but you can't. And so when it's on, I always try to just ride the flow, because I was texting with Victoria the other day and she was just like, man, you guys are like cranking stuff out. And I'm like, I'm trying to collect every drop from this fountain before it turns off. like before it takes a nap, because you never know when it's just like, bye-bye, like the muse is gone. And so I've just been really enjoying feeling that, like, day in and day out, and just like having more and more and more ideas with the understanding that this will not like go on forever. It goes in ebbs and flows. And so right now I'm like, whatever, like we're in flow. We're doing great. Like, let's design t-shirts. We're like coming up with fun ideas and like different color combinations and different fonts and all the things. And so, yeah. And then it'll live there when our creativity turns off and takes a nap. It's like, all right, well, at least it was created while we were in flow, but we're also like tired. It's so funny.
That is true. I do feel like my faucet unfortunately has left me behind the past week or so, but I know she'll be back.
She'll be back. And that's the thing. I know. But like the thing is, that's the flow, right? That is just how it be. And so we just can't even kick ourselves about it, because it's just like, okay, when it's on, it's on. When it's off, it's off. Like, just when it's off, rest up, you know? Yeah. Instead and of honestly, like boohoo.
Yeah.
Even though I feel that too. I truly feel like, woe is me, like when the faucet turns off. But it's like, that's just your chance to rest before the faucet turns on, you know?
I know. My huge assignment of life is like, why do I run from the slowdown always?
I know. You're like, maybe I should just muscle into creativity. That sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds like the most romantic way to get creativity to come back.
Sounds so super glowing. Her
stomp my feet.
Force but her also, hand.
Yeah. But also, I just like looked and I'm like, this is our 16th episode this year. And I'm like, I feel good about that.
No, we're, I mean, yeah. And I will say this, like, that's us, like, that's truly one of the things I'm the most proud of, because for both of us, because that does not represent 16 episodes in which we were ready to get on mic. Like, no. That is just us being committed to getting on mic, whether we feel like it or not. And we always have fun once we're on. And we've said this 1,000 times, like, don't kill us for beating a dead horse. But I'm just saying, like, there's been at least 8 of those that we're like, I don't know if I can get on mic. Like, I don't know if I have enough energy for this. And then we get on and we're like, oh, thank God we did this. So that has been a lifeline. So over the last year, like, I have not always felt creatively on. And then nor Angela. And then sometimes we're in the flow and we're like, oh my gosh, everything is lighting us up. Let's go. And then it's like, oh, all of a sudden the faucet turns off and we're like, okay, we're crusty dusty. But we just are creating where we can. And it's a privilege to create and to show up and, you know, I don't know. True. It's just fun.
It's taught me a lot about an intention that we had for when we rebranded to The Unpolished was, let's just attempt to do this weekly, whether we feel like it or not, not in a place of like muscle and force, just trusting in ourselves that we will get there. That's more the change that I think has happened, because in the past, it's like, we feel sick, we're off, we're, you know, one of our kids are sick. All of that still is happening. So it's like,
oh yeah,
it's not. And in fact, I would say probably more now, but Ken and I are in a season where we are trying to combat our own like victim story and of ways we're trying to squeeze out of like showing up in life. And some days that capacity looks different than others, but between the two of us, it's been nice that we are like accountability buddies in this.
We, even in years previous when we were under Woo Woo School, I mean, anytime we had an excuse, it was like, okay, well, we're not going to record this week. And there would be some times where it was like, okay, there's a month or 6 weeks between episodes. Cause we're like, hey, we're not like on, we're not, you know, and we really allowed our stories and our like victimhood of like whatever the circumstance was, or we're busy or whatever it is, to kind of do that. And that was a big thing for rebranding to The Unpolished was, okay, let's not take ourselves too seriously. Like, creativity does not, I honestly think creativity does not thrive in an environment in which you have to take yourself too seriously. I think creativity is attracted to play, is attracted to experimenting, to not taking yourself too seriously. And that was kind of our rebrand was like, okay, we're doing Unpolished, but the intention that we have here is to show up and just fart around and like find out.
Yes. And it's also been so helpful, like a partnership where it's like, if I'm not feeling so great tonight, but Ken is like really carrying this episode and is like more on fire. And so it helps to be in a partnership in that way. Cause it's like, but sometimes there's just days where one of us is quieter, and it's so helpful to be like, okay, the show must go on, and we carry together. And then there's other days where I am just like a little firecracker, and it you know, we kind of pass the baton in that way. And I think that's a really healthy relationship.
You know, it's like, now I'm feeling better. Like, I was sick all week, and then now Angela, it's almost like, Angela and I are not in the same city, but I'm like, I swear we will pass stuff back and forth where I'm like, it's almost like I coughed and she like got it. And literally, even though we have not been in person, and so she's like, by being on mic with you alone, I like somehow got sick. But yeah, so she's not feeling great. And I'm like, oh, I'm now like feeling better. But, and Clint's like down for the count. He's been like going to bed so early. It's just like, I feel bad. I spread it to everyone, even over Mike. But yeah, so I just, it's, and I really don't mean that like we're recovering, both of us, like girl boss energy mode. And I think, I don't mean to say any of that, like, oh, you need to muscle through when you're sick or feeling tired or whatever. It's more of a, if you just kind of open up the door to like play with whatever your situation is, you can be surprised by what comes out.
Yes. And every single time it's the same as like taking a nice walk or meditating or like taking a long shower when you feel really grody. You always are like, yeah, that was worth it. Every single time. And then also I had to tell myself, and what is the worst that can happen? You don't release the episode. Is that the end of the world? Like, relax. Like, when it's like the story sometimes will create this. This happens to me. And I'm not saying about the podcast. I'm just saying, let's talk like outside of that. Whenever I am making excuse, oh, I can't do this because of X, Y, and Z, it'll make it, not only do I get more and more tied to whatever I'm saying, whatever excuse that I'm shilling in my head, but it's also like I'm acting like the stakes are really high. So when I started looking at life as low stakes, that really was a nicer entry for me and like a more welcoming place, because it's like, all right, pardoning any story, I'm tired, I'm sick, my kids are sick, I'm this, all of those are valid, but pardoning all of that, when I push that aside, when I show up, why am I putting so much pressure on actually showing up and like then what that looks like? Because that's another piece of it, right? It's like, I'm afraid to show up and not be able to produce or be enough, or your story shows up in a different way, instead of just being like, this is, in this context that we're talking about, like a podcast that we produce for free with our friends that listen in.
And it's like, you're consuming at such a fast rate that I just feel like, oh, you can put whatever out. And it's like, it's so fulfilling to stretch your creativity muscle, but it's like really not that serious. Cause it's like, okay, you bomb. It's like someone is literally has moved on to the next thing too. I mean, it's a little bit sad, but it's also kind of freeing.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never listened to a podcast that bombed and thought about it for more than like
1 second.
Right. I was just like, oh, anyway, they must have been off. Next.
Yeah. That is true. Oh my gosh. To be perceived.
It's just, it's, I feel like higher stake to not show up at all than it is to just show up and not take it too seriously, you know?
Right. And we both have this in common in the sense of like, we're big consumers of other people's, like art, poetry, writing, storytelling, whatever it may be. And I'm a huge YouTube consumer. And I followed some people for 10, 12 years. And I've seen so many iterations of them. And I'm still along for the ride, like tuned in. Mm-hmm. And maybe their content has completely changed. Like Carrie Dayton, for example, she used to do storytelling where she would do these like wild stories from the bar when she was younger. Well, now we're in our like mid 30s and she does like fashion content, home decor, like just stuff. She's shifted as she's aged, as we all do. And I've been around for every like evolution, and it's been fun to like watch somebody kind of like grow, but I would, and nobody would get to see. And she's just an example. You don't have to know who she is to understand what I'm saying. It's like, if she had just been like, you know what, this blows, like nobody is like looking at my stories, and just completely like dropped off, I would never get to see all these other like beautiful things she has created. Yeah. And like grabbed different, you know, she might lose some people, but gain some new ones. And so it's just kind of fun to see.
Well, it was so funny at work. There was one of my coworkers, he's probably in his probably upper 40s. And he was talking about how he was like helping with some kind of like mentor thing with this 18-year-old. And she was like, okay, well, I, you know, am going to cosmetology school and I want to get into hairdressing and like open up my own studio. But she was like, I'm so scared. What if I do all of that? And then I don't actually like being a hairdresser. And he was like, just so kindly trying to be like, this is what adulting is. Like, you will literally change 1,000 times. Like, you probably won't be a hairdresser for the rest of your life. Like, it's okay. And I was laughing at him telling me the story. I was like, oh my gosh, catch me in 10 years. I could be like grooming poodles. Like, honestly, who knows? Right. And it's just like that. Like, even 5 years ago, if I looked at myself now, I'd be like, wow. What a plot twist. It's just, you can pivot as many times as you want. And just, I think it's just like, oh yeah, if you're authentically you wanting to do it, there is still the string of consistency. And so this makes sense here, you know?
Man, it's just so fun to blossom and change. I wonder what we're going to be kicking. Yeah, what we're going to be kicking up in our next decade.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to say this story for you, because it was just I've told you that this has come to mind several times, but it just makes me think about, you know, getting older or whatever, is that Angela went to a book club meeting. And was it at a coffee shop or something? You can take over the story if you want, but I just want to
Oh my gosh. I love that this has stuck with you, because it was just like a just random voice memo.
Oh, but you like literally just like said it as an afterthought. And I was like, this is the most pure thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. So I go to a monthly book club with women in the area, and we were reading our book, and we look over, and it's all women that have like young kids. And so we're all kind of in our 30s ish, you know, give or take. And we look over, and there's this table next to a bench of women that are in their 60s, and they're kind of like hooting and hollering and like kind of like laughing and stuff. And we look over and we see that they each have a book next to them. So I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing book club for their book. So we have them come over, and we're switching. One of the ladies is taking a pic. She's like, oh, it's my turn to pick next month. Like, what did you guys read? Do you recommend it? And so she's like taking a picture of the book that we read. And then we asked them, and they were a Kristen Hannah book. So we're going back and forth. And I just got so excited, because I was like, oh my gosh, how many more books do I get to read in the next 30 years? Like, I can't wait to see what I devour. And
She sends me a voice memo, and she's explaining this, you know, we found these 60-year-olds, you know, next to our book club and whatever. And she was like, it just makes me so happy to think about me at 60 in a book club. And she's like, can you imagine? Like, I just have years ahead of me to read so many books. Isn't it so exciting for the rest of my life? I get to read books, and I just listen.
I love reading so much.
But this is what I'm saying. It's like, it's just the multifaceted nature. Like, I know that some people know how much Angela likes to read and what a voracious reader she is, but like, there is such a deep passion that and she will plow. Like, the other day you were like, I've only read like 28 books this year. So I'm like, oh my God. She is just so passionate about reading, and she will plow through books in a single day if she's given the opportunity to. Obviously with our life circumstances, she doesn't get to read as much as she wants, but like, she's so passionate about it. But it was just the purest thing of this is the essence of who someone is. Like, that was kind of my thing, is when something is authentic to you, like Angela is tearing up on a voice memo that she gets to read for the rest of her life. I'm like, this is the purest, most gorgeous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, on that, I'll end us here. If you guys are readers, Transcendent Kingdom by Yagi Yasi, I'll put it in the show notes. I just finished, so her first novel was Homegoing, which me and Kindle attempted to read together and Kindle jumped ship.
Yeah, Angela, I get it, read it and I didn't. It was just, it was too much of a family tree. Yes. And I just I couldn't even make it past all the names I was supposed to remember. So
yes, it was a lot of different characters. It was changing points of view a lot. It took place over like a several periods of time. So it was a slower burn. This one is fast. It's only about 225 pages. The chapters are really short. It's set modern day. Her writing transcends. Like, it is, I mean, it's a beautiful name, Transcendent Kingdom. It is gorgeous. She's a lab researcher and she's researching mice in the way that they respond to addiction. But as she's in the lab, she's also reflecting on her own battles with addiction with her brother and like her mom's depressive episodes. So it's heavy on some themes, but it's so gorgeously written. And I've been reading passages of it to Kindle on voice memo, which has been like, so
I know, I told her, I was like, this is my love language. Like, she's just been reading like, oh, I really liked this passage, and she'll just send it to me. I'm like, I feel like I'm getting a night-night story. Like, this is so deeply comforting to hear. I won't give my recommendations because, you know, I'm still like trucking through the first like couple chapters of a few books, the ADHD of it all. So we'll end on her recommendation. And we truly just came on to like, oh, we'll just see. We had no plan. And what a wild, right? We're like, yeah, we'll record for like 20 minutes, just some quick updates. And then here we are just
an hour later,
an hour later. So, but thank you. If you've made it this far, thank you for listening and thank you for being here. Like, hope you take something from it and we will, see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That's a wrap from your girls, Kindle and Ange. Thank you for listening. Send this to somebody that you think will like it. XOXO, the Unpolished Girlies. Bye-bye.